Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Greetings to all of you listening around the world and a warm welcome as we bring you another edition of the Answers for the Family radio show. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and if you're a regular listener, thank you for joining us once again. And if this is your first time, please make yourself at home as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, each week, this show will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, lasting health, and so much more. And having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields and skilled authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, you can all do me a big favor, so please check out some of our past shows at AnswersForTheFamily.com to hear some informative and entertaining guests as well as dynamic co-hosts discuss ways for you and your loved ones to become happier, healthier, and more at peace. Now, I'm also looking for some show ambassadors who will forward at least one of our shows to your social media group or to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. I want you to know that I truly appreciate it, and this is just another way that we can make a positive difference in the lives of others. Now, as many of you have grown to expect, with me as co-host is Gabriella Von Rey. She's the founder of the Dare to Be Kind movement, and she's been on the road filming since early November. She's been speaking to groups and interviewing people from all walks of life who have taken up the Dare to Be Kind challenge of one act of kindness in a 2-mile radius to highlight to everyone how kindness begins right there in your own neighborhood. So my question to her, and one that everybody is now growing to hear the answer to, Gabriella, where in the world are you?
I'm in Paris, France today.
That's beautiful. So share with us a little bit about what you're doing there and how the movement's going.
Well, I'm doing several things. I always try to make something good out of something that isn't always positive. And in this case, I am in France because I have a 90-year-old dad who is failing. But it shouldn't be sad because it's beautiful when you come to 90, right? Mm-hmm. And it's positive because I am in Paris right now to do a little bit of volunteer work with some amazing organizations here for what they call in French les sans-abri, which are the homeless. There is a epidemic here, just like every major city in the world has this problem. And I am hopefully able to interview some of them to see if there's a difference between what they are going through and what homeless people in the United States go through.
Well, Gabriella, and I think I've shared on some of the shows, but first of all, I'm so thankful and grateful for what it is you're doing. And for those people that don't know, Gabriella has taken 2 years out of her life to travel around the world and just focusing on the Dare to Be Kind movement to talk about how we can do this. Because, you know, as societies, we've gotten away from it. So, again, I'm just so thankful and really want to acknowledge the fact that, that you are out there doing these things. And it also points to that fact that we can all do something. There's so many times in which I'm talking with people and I'm sharing some of the things that maybe I'm doing or other wonderful people like you are doing. And they go, oh, you know, what can I do? I mean, I'm just one person. Well, this is a perfect example of what one person can do. And if you join the movement, you'll learn some of the other things you can do. You can do it right there in your own area.
So, absolutely.
So share a little bit about some of the things that other people can do.
I would say for anyone listening to Alan's show right now, think, you know, we don't think of time as a gift, but time is a gift. And whether you go to a senior center and read an hour to an elderly that you've never met before, And I'm one of those people that, by the way, when I do that, I get so interested in the book that I keep going back just to finish the book. So maybe that's something that's up your alley. But just understand that when you take time, not money, but time, you light up their world. And whether this is a foster child, whether this is an elderly, and Alan, we've talked about this before, help them to work their cell phones. Because believe it or not, the elderly all have a cell phone, but they don't know how to get onto Facebook or to FaceTime with their, you know, their loved ones that don't always live close. And they want to stay in touch because they know that this is the way to the heart of their grandchildren that are on these devices 24/7. So that would be, for me, would be something that you could do that would create a ripple effect instantly in the lives of an entire family.
You know, that's so beautiful. And I just want to add that around Christmas time, one of the things that I bought my mother was one of those, I guess it's like a specialized picture book where they can have pictures that continually rotate in it, but at the same time they can go online and be able to see their grandchildren and talk with them. Yep. It's FaceTime on a bigger screen than the little phone, because for some of us our eyes aren't such that that we can really make out everything on the little phone. So yeah, I think it's great that you bring that up. It's such a perfect way to do that. And when you brought up in regards to going to some of the homes to see, you know, the elderly, again, it's a great opportunity. And when I used to go see, when she was still alive, my grandmother, you know, my initial thought was I was going there to see her. But what I ended up doing as I met more of the people there is I would take her and all of her friends, if I was there over a Sunday, take them to church. I ended up, the first rental car I got was a regular car. As I met more of the people there, my rental became a van. It became like an 8-passenger van because we kept growing as a group. But it would be to go to church or to go to dinner or to go to lunch, just so that we can all go out and interact with other people. One of the saddest things that I remember was a woman who said to me, you know, that, you know, she wished that that her son and her grandchildren would visit her. She knew that I was coming from California to Florida, and she said that they're only about a 2-hour drive, you know, and that she doesn't see them as much as she'd like to. So think about that. You know, you may have grandparents that are somewhere, and they may not want to tell you that, but it doesn't mean they're not feeling it. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, Gabriella.
And let's add that it's not just grandparents, guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's parents, too. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent of a child, and I don't get to see her as often as I would love. So it's parents, too, in a way. You know, it's all the people that we love. Let's make sure that we appreciate and are kind to them while we have them around.
Absolutely. And so if anybody wants to join the movement, Gabriella, share what's the best way that they can either go online or just jump in and share.
We are everywhere. So if you go to the daretobekindmovement.global or .com, you can find us. If you do the hashtag daretobekind, you will find us through all the social media. What we really need are kindness instigators, people that want to duplicate what I do, but in your 2-mile radius, and don't think that it takes up that much of your time. I have very small tasks that would take literally half an hour once a week, and it doesn't take rocket science. And we are so glad to have you. And what's even much better is that we want your brains and hearts, because you might have ideas that I never thought of. And so together, collaborating, we are the movement. See, the movement is nothing without you. So our vision is a safer world, our method is kindness, and the vehicle is you.
I love it. And there's also a Facebook page, the Dare to Be Kind Facebook page. And it's something that I now go to quite a bit, because there's an incredible amount of wisdom and an outpouring outpouring of gratitude that that I get from that, and you can too. So check that out. Now, speaking of wisdom, which is something I think we all would like, you know, have you ever fantasized about gathering the wisdom of the world's thought leaders and achievers? Well, I know that I have, and it's something that I think about. Well, over the last two decades, our guest, Douglas Vermeeren, has conducted extensive firsthand research into the lives of the world's top achievers. He has learned the success strategies of top business leaders from Nike, Reebok, Fruit of the Loom, FedEx, KFC, United Airlines, Microsoft, Disney, and so many others, some of which he will share with us today. Now, ABC Television and Fox Business refer to him as the modern-day Napoleon Hill. Now, for anyone who is not familiar with Napoleon Hill, I suggest you Google him. Now, in addition, Douglas is the producer and director of 3 out of 10 of the top personal development movies ever made, which are The Opus, featuring Jack Canfield, Mark Victor Hansen, Joe Vitale, John G. Martini, Marcy Shimoff, Morris Goodman, Bob Dole, and others that I can't come up with right now, but I can tell you it was very inspiring to watch. The second one was The Gratitude Experiment, featuring Bob Proctor, Murray Diamond, again John Martini, and John Gray, you know, who I have since met and who's been on the show as well. Also, there is The Treasure Map, featuring Laurel Langmire, Raymond Aron, Marshall Silver, and Randy Gage. Now, Douglas has also authored 3 books in the Guerrilla Marketing series and is the creator of Personal Power Mastery, which is the major topic of this show, and it was rated one of the top personal development programs in the world, providing powerful tools to companies, individuals, and students. He's a regular featured expert on Fox, CNN, ABC, NBC, CTV, CBC, The Huffington Post, The New York Daily News, and so many others. Just so happy to have him here with us. Douglas, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Hey, it's good to be with you. I was just thinking, well, if I do any more, my bio will take up somebody's whole show, goodness sake.
Well,
that's funny.
But you know what? I thought about all of the things that you've done, and you know, you've managed to live probably, you know, 2 or 3 lifetimes compared to some people in all of the great things that you've done. And I love the fact that, I mean, what you're doing is you're out there, you're studying the high achievers, and then condensing it all into something that somebody can now read. And what I found by reading it was there's something for everybody. You know, that I may not necessarily like the way that this person maybe looked at the way that they achieved, but I love the way that this other one did. So, again, I love the fact that you've put it all together, because it probably would have taken me a lifetime to read, you know, the 400 books or whatever that it would have taken to gather all that information.
Sure. Well, you know, success is truly an individual thing, and I think this is one of the biggest challenges that most people have, is finding that definition. And I still remember the day that I kind of figured that I really didn't have a definition of success. I was actually sitting in the living room of Bill Farley, who was the former CEO of Fruit of the Loom Underwear, and I was asking him, what's your definition of success? And as I asked him, I realized I don't even have one. And since that time, I found that, just like what you pointed out, that success is really an individual thing. Oftentimes people think it's, well, finding, you know, a specific amount of money, or maybe it's finding the right relationship, or, you know, fill in the blank. But the truth of the matter is, success is really 2 things. One, it is being very specific and clear. And what do we say? That a goal that's specific and clear is attainable and near. But more importantly than that is, our success needs to be based on our values. So it needs to be in harmony with the feelings that we have. You know, I love what Stephen Covey said, that too many people climb the ladder of success only to realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. So we need to start by really making sure that our success coincides with our values. And that's the first step, right? Very important.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I was actually thinking about what you were just saying. about how success is very, very personal. And I also just wanted to comment on that. I like that you say that if you're clear about it, then it's attainable.
Absolutely.
Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Yeah, for sure. When we're doing the seminar, I like to point out sometimes a couple of things that we often talk about in pop culture that aren't necessarily correct. So you've probably heard the idea that if you want to take action, then you'll get success. So in other words, take massive action and you'll have success. The truth of the matter is that is not the right way to do it. I'm going to add something very important. It's to take deliberate action. There's a lot of people that are out there, especially in today's society, that are very busy and they're doing all kinds of what looks like work, but it's really busy work and it's not getting them anywhere. So you really got to become deliberate. In fact, you've probably heard the quote that says the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single footstep. Yep. Well, the truth of the matter is if you really chose carefully your destination, you're going to find that it's not 1,000 or 10,000 steps after all. In fact, I would rewrite that quote to say this: the journey to where you want to go begins with a single footstep in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a challenge for most people is, again, they haven't taken the time to really identify what it is, number one, what they value, and number two, what it is that actually will get them those things, those feelings, if you will, those, let's call it satisfaction, if you will. And so therefore, they never really embark on a mission that is significant, that isn't worthwhile. Like, we're not looking necessarily in the end for success. Like, I mean, we can all feel good about things we do. What we're looking for as people is significance. How can we create something that's going to validate us, that's going to have us feeling better, that's going to also connect with the people that we're involved with in our life? In fact, I know this is a bit of a segue, but one of the things I find, again, as a very I don't want to come across as negative, but something that's incorrect that's being taught by a lot of gurus today is they say if you want to become successful, you need to find your passion and your purpose. I'm going to say that that's only partially true. In fact, Warren Buffett said it this way. He said, what you like about you is your hobby. What others like about you is your business. So what you need to find isn't necessarily passion and your purpose, but it's where your passion and purpose overlaps with the passion and purpose of other people that you're going to serve. And so therefore, when you serve those people, they will validate you, they will reward you, they will compensate you, and of course, you'll have greater desires to serve that group and rise stronger when you see that it's making a difference in the life of those you're serving. So finding that idea of clarity, I think, is a massive stumbling block for a lot of people.
But how, I heard you talk about values there. How do the values influence these priorities?
Well, let's talk a little bit about values on a different way, for example.
Okay.
Imagine, if you will, a teeter-totter, okay? And we've all been on a seesaw teeter-totter as a child. You know, when one end goes down, the other end goes up. Now, here's the thing that I've noticed with a lot of people, especially when it comes to getting to their goals, values, and the idea around motivation. Sometimes people are assigned their goals by other people or are told that they need to live a certain way or seek a certain thing, or maybe even at work you've got to go out and do a certain activity, right? So these are assigned to us. Well, when our values are low, imagine now the teeter-totter, the low end, your values are there. Well, immediately, the other end is high, which is motivation, which means when your values are low, it requires a lot of motivation to get you going. It requires a lot of motivation to keep you dialed into those things that, you know, you've been told that you ought to do. But when our values are high, let's reverse the teeter-totter now. When our values are high, the factor of motivation that's required to get us going is now lower. So when we can find the true why behind why we really want to do something, and we can see that it coincides to our longer-term values and the things that we really want in life, then it requires very little motivation for us to get started. In fact, one of the things that I've always found, people ask me, how do I get wealthy? Well, my answer to that is that everyone's wealthy. It's just that your wealth appears in the form that you value most. So for some people, it might be, you know, let's say family relations at home. Well, that's going to require very little motivation for them to put the effort in there because that's something that they value high, right? Versus, say, someone who, let's now say, you know, that someone tells you that to be successful, you need to drive a brand new Ferrari. Well, if you don't have values that are high around attaining a Ferrari or driving one, it's going to require a lot of motivation for you to work towards that. And in fact, you're going to have to reignite that motivation every single day just to stay on target with it. So this is one of the aspects that I'm talking about with values, is that we need to discover what really ignites us and use that to create that motivation in our life. And that's, again, why, you know, we see people failing with New Year's resolutions, when they set goals at work, when they need to be prodded with all kinds of things to stay focused. It's because they're just not dialed into their values.
So I love the fact that you're really focusing on values, and that's one of the things that I haven't seen in a lot of other books that are the idea of, you know, here's how you achieve or here's how you get rich. You know, not a lot of them will focus on that. So I like the fact that, you know, that the value part influences, you know, your priorities. Now, you also talk in the book about motivation, and you mentioned the five pillars that motivate individuals. Share a little bit about that.
Now, the five pillars isn't just the areas that motivate people. In fact, there are also the areas where all of us set our goals. Now, to give a little bit of a context on how the five pillars were discovered, as you can imagine, when I was doing the interviews with the 400 top achievers, there were some very common patterns that began to appear. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I was talking with one of my friends who's a lawyer the other day. He said, if I had, you know, one witness to the truth, that's pretty good. If I had a dozen, that would be amazing and irrefutable. But after interviewing 400, I mean, you've got some pretty consistent things that begin to appear. So here's one of the big things that really began to appear, is that everyone typically has five areas in their life that they set their goals in. And again, this can be reflected in the values that we have. Now, without having the time to get deeper, I also just want to point out that all of these five are actually interconnected. And if there's one that you're lacking, it will appear as your primary goal. So in other words, if, say, abundance is missing, abundance becomes your primary goal. If your relationship is lacking, that becomes your primary goal. So let me share what those five pillars are, and then we'll, you know, see what kind of time we can talk about them a little bit in detail. So here they are, in the order that they will appear in your life. Number one is what we call self. Okay, so that can include such things as feelings of self-worth, self-fulfillment, even self-discipline, self-confidence, everything to do with yourself inside. And generally speaking, most people cannot create success outside themselves until they have some form of solidarity in themselves. In other words, if you have zero self-worth and you're struggling with that, it's very unlikely that you're going to decide to go climb Mount Everest. Get it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's
yep.
Number one. Number two is what we call spirituality. And this isn't necessarily talking about religion, but it is talking about how we connect not only to the universe, but ethically to everyone around us. How congruent are we with keeping our word and our commitments to people and our promises? Now, the interesting thing is that some people ask me, well, why is spirituality number two and maybe not number one? Well, the truth of the matter is there's a scripture that many have heard before that says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, you cannot love a neighbor until you love yourself. And that includes also things of the spirit. You cannot reach high like that until you've got yourself sorted out. The other thing that's really important is the next one, and that's what we call health. Health actually has to do, again, with not only just our physical being and how we care for ourselves, but all aspects around the energy around us. So most of the time this manifests itself as, I got to quit smoking, I got to lose weight, I got to start working out, I got to eat better. Those are all manifestations of health. And as you can imagine, this is probably the area that many people neglect the most, right? We're fighting for the other things in life rather than the things that are, you know, when you meet someone that's sick and on their deathbed, this is the one that they want more than anything. But up until that point, most of us do sort of neglect this. Now, the next one is really important as well, also interconnected. We call this relationships. Now, relationships doesn't just mean connecting to a significant other like a spouse or a sibling or a child. It can include all of our relationships, including business ones, and even in our community and in the countries that we live in and so forth. Now, relationships are a very, very important one because they often dictate the satisfaction of our life. Now, the next one is the final one, and this is the one that everybody often seeks after, and it's the one that everybody talks about most when it comes to goals, and that's abundance. Now, that can include money. It can include time off. It can include the ability and freedom to make opportunity choices and so forth. Now, if we look very carefully, though, these are all connected. Like I said, if a person can't have the self figured out, it's very difficult for them to move on to these higher ones. Or if they have a problem in spirituality, they may shortcut to try and get the money in abundance, but they may do it ethically incorrect, right?
Yep.
So, and same thing with relationships. In self, we may represent ourselves. If you're dating a new person and you're really, you know, enthralled by them, you may not be who you genuinely are to impress them. But the bad news is once they've said, I do, and you guys are married for 2-3 years, it's a difficult thing to keep up. And that's why we have a lot of divorces happen, because people aren't necessarily authentic to who they were at the outset, right?
Yep.
So we've got to be really careful about some of those elements on how we proceed through this wheel, if you will.
No, I mean, that makes perfect sense. Now, one of the things that I see in a lot of this stuff is that it has to do with sort of being authentic, and you have to start with being authentic with yourself. How do we stay in present, because in the present time? Because I think one of the issues that a lot of us have through many of these things is we're focusing on either what happened in the past, or we're reaching out to what is going on or what we want in the future. How do we stick with the presence, and what sacrifices do we have to do to make that happen?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you mention that, because the idea of the present is also a very, very important thing to discuss. Obviously, you know, we need to be aware of our past so that we can recognize patterns that we've maybe created or repeated, or things that haven't served us in the past. And in some cases, you know, relationships that we might want to avoid, or mistakes that we made in business that we don't want to repeat. But at the same token, too often we look too far into the future. And while it's important to strategically plan and to, you know, prepare for the future, sometimes people get too lost in the future. You see, the brain, the human brain, will never get to work on something it could do. It only gets to work on things it can do. So the present is the most important. The immediate now. In fact, if you look at the word now, I know some people have taken that and taken the letters and said N-O-W, you spell that backwards, and it says that we've won. Well, it's not a matter of winning. The truth of the matter is, I take N-O-W to represent no other way. If we want to have a better future, we've got to take advantage of the present, and we've got to create opportunities now that will pay us later. We've got to plant the seeds now. And I hear a lot of people actually looking at this idea of decision, and they say, well, you know, I would do something if I had more time or more money or more, you know, knowledge. Or, well, the truth of the matter is, decisions are not based on the now. Decisions are always future focused. Mm-hmm. And so if you do want to have more money or more time or more opportunity, that requires that you make a new decision in the present, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something also that might be very interesting for you to think about. And obviously, when we're, you know, out there teaching personal power mastery, I'm also looking for other people to interview. And there was a psychologist that I spoke with not too long ago about this idea of the present. And he pointed out something interesting, which I've since found very true among our students. And these two things are, one, the very happiest moment. In other words, if you're seeking happiness in your life, the thing that's robbing you from happiness is that you're not spending enough time in the now. You're spending time either, again, worrying about what is to come,
mm-hmm.
or worrying about what is past and living with regret. So that's number one. Happiness is strongest when we are fully present. And by the way, that's also as well in conversations with relationships. If you're sitting there talking with a spouse and you're planning about the future, or you're worried about what happened yesterday, it's very difficult to create happiness in that relationship. Now, here's another thing that's kind of neat that we discovered on our own, is that fear as well is limited in the present. In fact, almost non-existent. You see, when we are faced with a task that we have to do, and someone has invited us to do something that's a little bit outside our comfort zone, well, fear will kick in, and you'll either be frightened because you failed in the past, or you'll be frightened because you have unknowns in the future. But if we genuinely get ourselves in the present and just get to work, we'll realize that there's not a lot of fear. And we've seen this backed up, you know, when people have been in tragic accidents or what have you. You hear about a parent who's gone in to save a loved one, and they haven't thought about their own safety, or, you know, they will rush in to make sure that someone is safe,
mm-hmm.
because fear doesn't exist in the present. We take action with the things, yep. that we value, and we don't let fear rush in and limit us. So I love this idea of the present. In fact, it's really funny, on our social media this morning, that was the article that I wrote and the quote that I shared. Let me maybe just share it with you, because I think you'll kind of think this is kind of interesting. The quote that I shared this morning with our social media group was this. Let me just read this to you here. It says, the future depends on what we do in the present, right?
Yeah.
So when we're looking at that idea of the future, again, too many people, well, there's a Chinese quote that says this, if you would know your past, look at your current situation. But if you would know your future, look at your current decisions. And so we really have to recognize that it is that idea of what we choose to do right now, the choices that we make, whether we fully understand it or not, those are the things that are going to open up a brand new future for us, and everything can change.
I love what you said about fear, because I talk about that all the time myself to people. So because I find that we're a society that's more fearful, and I try to tell people that we actually do not have a comfort zone. We think we have, but we really don't. It's just a habit, right? So I love what you said on that, Douglas. I have a little question before I go to another question that I really want to ask you.
But
there's so many things that pop up in my brain here while you're talking, and I thought one of them, maybe other people heard it and thought, and Alan alluded to this too in his question, in his previous question, he talked about being authentic. And to tell you the truth, I'm going to be really honest here. I kind of dislike the word, because it gives to me the feeling, does that mean that most people are not authentic, right? So yes, we take it as a compliment, but shouldn't everyone be authentic? So my question to you is, how did we lose in this moment in time that we're living? How did we lose being authentic, in your opinion? Is there is there something that you see in the 400 people that you've interviewed that they have that part in common?
You know, it's interesting that you mention this, because not only looking at the 400 people, but now this year we'll probably have had about 10,000 people come through our training over the last decade, which is absolutely, you know, staggering numbers. But it allows us, again, to see some very common things.
Okay.
Now, one of the things, just looking at the idea of authenticity, which is kind of interesting that you brought up this question, I'm actually working on another movie right now, and the movie's title, tentatively, is called The Lost Message. Now, what is the message that's really being lost? Well, the message that's being lost is our authenticity. It's where we get our cues and our values of who we are and what we should find important. And if you look very carefully, our society is very primed to, we celebrate the likes that we get on Facebook or the shares that we get. That's what we seek after, right? We look for what does the media tell us what we should be wearing as clothing and how we should be treating others and feeling about other people, or what we see on the TV is the latest trend and so forth. And so a lot of us have given our power to decide what is truly valuable away. We've given that away. And I think that if you look at those that are not just successful in terms of what their outward appearance is, the things that they even gain, but those that are genuinely happy, right? They're generally the most authentic. Now, let me maybe just share a quick thought on happiness, which I think is, I don't know, maybe going to rock the boat for some people. You heard it said that happiness is a choice, right? We've heard that saying.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is it is a choice, but that's only part of the equation. You see, happiness is actually a choice, but it's also being happy and satisfied with the consequences that arrive because of that choice. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so authenticity, I believe, is not just a matter of discovering ourselves, because we hear this in society where people feel like if I discover myself, that gives me permission to act and behave in any way possible. And there's a lot of people out there, and I'm not trying to criticize anyone's choices, but they say that it's my right to do what I please. And that's authenticity. Yeah. I can do whatever I want. And the truth of the matter is that is not authenticity. Authenticity is also being responsible with the consequences that follow. In fact, several years ago, you guys have probably heard of Man's Search for Meaning, the book by Viktor Frankl.
Of course.
Those unfamiliar with his work, Viktor Frankl spent several years during Nazi Germany in the concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
And as he was there, one of the biggest things that he realized is that people can choose how they will feel about the situations and circumstances they're put in. Well, a few years ago, the Viktor Frankl Society approached me and said, listen, on the East Coast of the United States, we've got something called the Statue of Liberty. Now, liberty is the freedom to make choices. It's the freedom to live how we will. But his society felt that there was something very lacking. And he said, we need to build a statue on the West Coast. And we are going to call it the Statue of Responsibility. So in other words, you cannot have liberty without responsibility. And I think that this is a big challenge that a lot of people in our society are facing right now, is they really don't understand what it means to have freedom of choice and also to have authenticity, because they think that it comes without a price. And if we look very carefully at how, you know, certain families are being wrecked by, you know, the individual choices of people, and I'm talking about, there could be everything from these gender issues that we're talking about today to drug addiction challenges that are there today to abuse in families today to, you know, people that are workaholics and not raising their children today, that they're delegating that responsibility to someone else. Now, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to put a blanket over everyone's choices and say that everyone is in trouble here, but I'm saying that people are not taking enough time with these choices to make sure that they are responsible in how they're creating these lifestyles. And ultimately, those who are, choose to not be responsible and just reach to the freedom part actually find that their freedoms disappear. You know, I've got several people who've attended our Personal Power Masterminars who come with a lot of regret, saying that I thought that I could do whatever I wanted to, and then suddenly when the consequences catch up, they're facing things like, you know, like I said, addictions. I've got people that have come through with divorces, people that have had bankruptcies and foreclosures. I've had people that have, in fact, I've got one fellow that I just met at an event too long ago where he and his wife kind of had a big breakup, and then ultimately the kids were taken away from them and put in social services. Now, both of them in that case were living a freedom lifestyle, but they did not look at the responsibility of it. So we've got to recognize that, you know, I think the world really has some incorrect definitions on authenticity. And we've got to recognize that if you want to keep the freedom expanded in your life, what do we say? We have to be before we can do, before we can have. And that means that we need to make some very careful decisions on those values that we have again. And oftentimes these ideas around immediate gratification, which I see a lot of society doing, reaching out to immediate pleasures and fun that have no lasting value to them, they often end people up in hot water and unhappiness. And so, you know, we need to be very careful of these things.
Okay. I also feel that this is very personal, of course, is that I find that the authenticity, the reason we lose it sometimes is because we want to comply to the other person so much so that we lose our own identity. Basically, I'm talking about conformity, right? Which is also part of our society. Like you said, the likes on social media, if you're a woman and you don't take 50 times the same selfie just to have the perfect one, then you're not cool. And even I had to learn to have Bobby, which is my manager, who's probably listening right now and smiling, you know, she now takes a picture and she never asks my permission. She just puts on the ones that are actually kind of kooky with a strange grin, because that is me. You know what I mean? So yes. I feel that if authentic person, we don't dare to be us because society also tells us to be conformed to the group. And so we lose ourselves in the group. I just wanted to put that out there.
And it's true. We do. You know, I think one of the things that our society teaches us, which I think is a little bit unfortunate, is that it's not okay to be us, right? It teaches us that really we need to, you know, conform to the images that someone else has portrayed. And I think that, you know, that's something that, especially to the youth of today, is really a challenging thing that, you know, we've already heard a million and one discussions of how the school systems groom us to be, you know, ready to be factory workers and in a job. But I think the other thing that the school system really kind of does is it conforms us to be exactly the same as those around us. And that doesn't always work. Now, I'm definitely not trying to say that, you know, we don't need law and order, because we do. And I'm also, you know, how do I say this? There are certain things that are going to be invariably true, that will always be a fact. And regardless of someone's opinion about those facts, some of these things will never, ever be swayed. So we've got to understand that, you know, there is a place for, let's call it, institutionalized learning or group learning, but at the same time, I think we need to recognize that level of expression that can uniquely be us. And I think that oftentimes that is not nurtured as it needs to be.
Well, you know what, we're going to take a break, but I want everybody out there to stay with us. You know, what we're talking about is so important, but we're talking about personal power mastery. And if you'd like to follow along, if you go to the website, douglasvermeeren.com, and you can, and again, if you're driving, you know, you don't try to spell it or anything else. You can also go to answersforthefamily.com. We're going to have all of this information on there. But if you're sitting at your desk, you know, D-O-U-G-L-A-S, V as in Victor, E-R-M-E-E-R-E-N.com. You can open up another window. You can follow along with us. Now, Douglas, you mentioned in regards to some of the seminars and stuff, is the information at that website, or is there another place they should go if somebody's interested in the seminars?
No, that's actually perfect, but let me give you an easier way to get there.
Okay.
Just type in personalpowermastery.co, and that'll get you there. And we also have a variety of free resources that are there for people too, that include videos, articles, blog posts that we've written, you name it, it's there. But personalpowermastery.co is the easiest way to get there. Obviously, my last name kind of makes it a little harder. I feel bad for Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was first making it in Hollywood, because he would have run into exactly the same thing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so for everybody, stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more about personal power mastery. You're listening to Answers for the Family.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service, licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services and Westshield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. I'm Alan Cardoza. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We have Douglas Vermeeren and Gabriella Von Ray, and we are talking about personal power mastery.
All right, Douglas, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Please share with our listeners the ways hesitation and ambivalence, can be seen in one's life.
Wow. Give me a better idea of exactly kind of what you're looking for. You're talking about how a person hesitates.
We were just talking about everything you've said so far is motivation, feeling good about yourself, all those things. But we have this little horrible voice in our head that the moment we're positive, then there's that little nagging voice that says, maybe not. Oh, are you sure? Or what I have found a lot is if friends unfortunately share their just newfound motivation or what they're going to do, what they call success or whatever it is that they're going after, then they start hesitating because the person that they said it to is not very enthusiastic. And basically their own hesitation, their own fear is all on them, right? And so people hesitate nonstop and are ambivalent about the things that they want to accomplish too. So how do you see that those manifest in people's lives because of all the interviews you've done and because of the personal power mastery?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's interesting that the first thing that comes to my mind as you're talking about this is there's something that we kind of discovered along the way here. I call it the five ways your brain processes or learns. And I guess it's, you know, I'm trying to think of a way to explain this without needing 2 hours to do it, because it's a fairly complex concept. But okay, let me put it this way. There's a handful of ways that your brain learns. The first way is factually. So 1 + 1 = 2. You know, President Trump is the president of the United States currently. These are all facts. And so your brain actually services those and processes those kind of ideas in a specific way. The second way that our brain learns, let's call it experiential. For example, if you were learning to play the guitar, or learning to ride a bike or walk, these are all experiential things that you learn differently than your facts, right? There's also a muscle memory involved and things of this nature, right? The third way that we learn is what we call socially. We learn from those that we surround ourselves with and the people that influence us, right? So that's another way that we learn, and we often don't recognize we're learning that way. The next way that we learn is what we call spatial learning. In other words, if you were doing Tetris, as something comes at you at a puzzle, you're shaping it a certain way. If you're hanging a picture, you position it in a certain way in relation to other things. So you're kind of in a context learning. And by the way, that occurs inside your brain as well as outside your brain. Like if I said the word dog and I asked every one of your listeners right now to describe a dog, we'd probably come up with a million different versions, right? Like brown dog, black dog, small dog, big dog, different kinds of dogs, right? But the last kind of learning is what we call intuitional learning. And that's learning that we just kind of know from our gut. We can't really explain. So for example, if a car salesman came up to you and he wasn't congruent with truth, you would feel immediately that he's trying to pull one over on you. You just feel that from an intuitional point of view. Now, here's the thing to answer your question in the shortest way possible. Every good and brilliant thing that comes into our life first starts with intuition. In our gut, that idea comes in and we're like, oh, wow, this is inspiring. I could do this. This is something cool that I want to bring into my life. And that's where it starts. Now, the challenge is as soon as that trigger happens in our mind of the intuition, it activates all the other four. So you will then say, factually, can this be done? Right? And if you can't satisfy something there, you're going to start to hesitate. Next, you're going to say, experientially, have I got what it takes to do this? Do I have skills? Do I have the ability? Right? Again, if you find something lacking there, you're going to hesitate. Next, socially, if you see that, say, for example, someone invited you to do a network marketing company and you've had a cousin that tried it and he failed drastically, or your family's told you that it's a poor idea, that's going to influence you and you're going to hesitate. And then lastly, spatially, if you can't see how this can fit either into your time schedule or your life, or you don't know the first thing to do, or there's certain things along the processes that you're unsure of, you'll also hesitate there. And so what we have found is by understanding the way that your brain will process that and then learning how to satisfy those questions along the way, your brain can actually become primed to actually hang on to the things that you really want to do and to place them in a way that they can be serviced even when doubts exist and remain. And so, you know, it really is a matter of it takes a little bit of self-analysis to recognize what's going on. But most people never get to that because a lot of the ideas that they begin with intuitionally, they just aren't always high on the value list either. So in other words, you might have a really good idea. In fact, Harvard once said that the average person has 6 ideas per year that could be turned into a million-dollar enterprise. But then why is not everyone a millionaire? Well, it's because we have these ideas, but we don't really find them valuable enough or entertaining enough to really pursue to start now checking the facts, the experience, the social learning, the spatial learning, and get started. So we stop fairly quick.
Well, Douglas, I got to tell you, first of all, what you said in regards to doing 2 hours on that, I would love to be able to do that. So one thought, because of the fact that we're running out of time, because this has gone by so quickly, as far as your seminars, are they web-based? Are they also in person? And if so, do you have any coming up in Southern California?
You know what? We don't, but I am this weekend in London, England. So I'm actually going to be in Europe myself doing one. So we do some of the work online. Like I said, there's a lot of free resources that we have. And then I do them as literally a two-day event. And I bring in a lot of special guests with me. In fact, one of the next ones that I've got coming in, I've got John DeMartini there from The Secret. I've got Brian Smith, the founder of UGG Boots, coming out. I've got a handful of these other really cool people. We've had Barnett Bain, Academy Award winning movie producer there. So I bring in a lot of the top achievers that I interviewed so that you can see firsthand how these things actually work. Obviously, I'd love to do one in Southern California. If we had enough people together there, I would do one there, but we haven't got a date slated. So I guess hop on social media, tell me you're interested, and if we can, you know, find enough interest, we'd love to come out.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm very interested, and I will do what we can to promote it. Again, for everybody out there, if you go to personalpowermastery.co, you can get a lot of information. Douglas, I'd love to have you back, because you're right. We could do another 2 hours easily. But I just want to thank you for, as I said, taking the time to go out, speak to 400 of some of the top leaders and achievers throughout the world, and condensing it into something that makes it very easy for us to put together. So again, I just want to acknowledge you and thank you.
Can we ask him a last question real quickly, Alan?
We're about a minute over. So you shoot it out there, let's.
Quick. Who was your favorite?
Yeah.
You know what? That's so hard to say, because there were so many that were wonderful for so many different reasons. I interviewed several, in fact, movie stars that were idols and heroes to me as a child. I also interviewed so many athletes and people that had done incredible things. There were also people that I didn't know a lot about. And once they started sharing their story, I was very impressed and powerfully influenced. So there's not just one. And I'm still doing the interviews today. I'm still seeking out top achievers wherever I can find them. So, great question, but hard to answer.
Okay.
All right. And actually, there was a listener question. There was a great comment that came in. I'll see if we can put those on our website. That's answersforthefamily.com. Also, try to see if we can shoot you over those, and maybe you can get them answered, put them on your site or our site, so that those listeners can get those things answered.
We also do answers like that on our podcast, too. So I'd love to get those questions, and I'm happy to answer them. We definitely can do that.
Please. And how is the best way to reach the podcast?
The best is actually you just type in Personal Power Mastery into Google and you will find us.
That's great. So for everybody out there, please be sure to put us on your calendar. Tune in next Monday when we will be joined by Glenn Livingston to discuss his new book, Never Binge Again. And please, if you get a chance, visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, I think even Vimeo. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It'll help us reach more people, and it's so greatly appreciated. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of the latest posts. If you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. Honor our guests. Go to Doug's blog, go to Gabriella's site at Dare to Be Kind. And if you get a chance, if you get the book, if you get Personal Power Mastery, if you like it, go to Amazon or wherever you bought it and leave a review. It helps them. It helps any author out there who has put all their time into it. It helps them be able to know that they're reaching the right people. So please do that. And for everybody out there, be good human beings. Be with us next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.